Morning, church.
Morning.
If you have your Bibles with me, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 35. It's about 19 verses. I'm going to read all of it. Starting from verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 35, the Rechabites. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Hosea, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to get Jezaniah, son of Jeremiah. This is a different Jeremiah. The son of Habazziniah and his brothers and all his sons, the whole family of the Rechabites, I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdaliah, the man of God. It was next to the room of the officials, which was over that of Messiah, son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family and said to them, "Drink some wine." But they replied, "We do not drink wine, because our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command, 'Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons and daughters have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in or had vineyards, fields, or crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded this land, we said, 'Come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and Aramean, to escape the and the Aramean armies.' So we have remained in Jerusalem." Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, 'Will you not learn a lesson and obey my words?' declares the Lord. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and his command has been kept. To this day they do not drink wine because they obey their forefathers' command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not obeyed me. Again and again I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you. They said, 'Each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live in the land I have given to you and your fathers.' But you have not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command their forefather gave them, but these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I'm going to bring on Judah and everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer." Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the command of your forefather Jonadab and have followed all his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me." Amen. I'm going to talk about living in a principled way in an unprincipled world. And we're going to touch upon the series that we've been following. But before that, let us quickly pray. Spirit of the living God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your kind presence during the time of worship. We pray, Lord, that as we look up to you for your word from this ancient text, you would help us to understand how relevant and concerning it is in our today's world. You speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A couple of weeks back, we started a new series, and we titled it The Truth. And the last week, we saw about truth in an individual. One of the classic examples that was given by Brother Paul was how David, King David, fulfilled his promise which was made to his friend Jonathan. And then he went ahead and fulfilled it in the days of Mephibosheth. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, before we do the biblical concepts, there were a few great men who lived in this world. What we'll try to do is we'll first try to understand what did these great men who lived on the face of the earth say about the truth. And we're going to compare it with what Jesus said, and then we'll go forward. Okay? Now, Mark Twain was an American writer and a lecturer. He is best known for his novels like The Great American Novel. That's one of the novels that he had written. And even in the U.S. right now, you have Mark Twain Awards given for people who are philosophers and who have done great in literature and acting. He said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Reminding honestly not only builds trust, but simplifies life. I used to have a friend in college, he used to carry a lie book because he never used to remember what lie he has told each of his friends. Tu gaye hafte to bola tha piano class gaya hai mujhe, but gaye hafte dusre ko bhi bola ki guitar class gaya hai. So he never used to remember what lie he had told his friends. So he used to carry a lie book. Nowadays it's very easy, we can make notes. But back in those days, you had to carry a lie book. All right? Now, Elvis Presley is usually referred as the king of rock and roll in the U.S. Now, his daughter was the one who married the late king of pop, who was Michael Jackson. And he said that, and he was one of the most influential icons of the 20th century. He said, truth is like the sun. You can shut it down for the moment, but it isn't going away forever. And just as the sun can be observed temporarily, that can be obscured temporarily by clouds or darkness, the truth can be hidden or ignored, but it remains constant and eventually it comes to light. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, Buddha also said something. Buddha was someone who was from India, and he also said something on the same lines. And he said, three things cannot be long hidden. It's the sun, the moon, and the truth. Now, the next person is a Greek philosopher. He was Socrates. How many of you know Socrates? He was a Greek philosopher. And he said, false words are not only evil in themselves, but they infect the soul with evil. He was one of the philosophers who spoke little close to what the Bible preaches, because when you lie, it does something to your soul. We're going to look at it. And the last is my favorite, which is the American poet Emily Dickinson. She said, truth is so rare that it is delightful to tell it. Can you tell your neighbor, truth is so rare? It is delightful to say it. Yeah, the recent events you see in India, what's happening, it is delightful to say the truth. Whether it's families, whether it's corporate worlds, whether it's friends, colleagues, cousins, it is a delight to say what the truth is. Now, what Emily actually said was, she said it brings much joy and satisfaction to the soul, especially in a world where it may not be always be easily found. Now, if you ever see, now, and then you have the greatest man who lived on the face of the earth. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He said, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, if you ever see in courtroom dramas, on sitcoms or in movies, you see the person standing at the witness stand. Have you seen that? There is a person who's standing at the witness stand and they give you a Bible. Not you, the Bible. The person who's standing at the witness stand. They give that person a Bible and they say, and this is what they say. The traditional oath usually includes the phrase, I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is what the person is requested to say when they are standing in the witness stand. Now, the greatest man in the history said this, and it has inspired many people in the world. What Jesus said, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And it inspired so many people. And one of the institutions that were inspired by was the CIA. You know who's the CIA? They are the central intelligence agency in the United States. And Alan Dulles, the director of CIA, insisted at the dedication ceremony that the quotation that was said by Jesus in John 8:32 should be fixed in the stone in the headquarters. And that's a little picture of the stone. This one is actually engraved in the stones in the headquarters of the CIA. Now, this is one about what Jesus said. The second thing is, many companies, for example, Burger King. How many of you like burgers? Everybody likes burgers? All right. Some people are saying no. Now, the fast food giant Burger King came up with a bold campaign. He came up with an attention-grabbing campaign about burgers to emphasize that they are free from artificial preservatives. Now, if you go to any fast food chain or restaurant, they usually use artificial preservatives to ensure that it is safe for a longer amount or longer period. But Burger King, they came up with this campaign. Let's see if the video is working.
What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours. What a difference a day makes. I know in my heart the difference is you.
Sorry to ruin your burger taste on a Sunday morning, but that's what happens to the Whopper Burger by Burger King on day 34. That's because they do not use any artificial flavors. And that was a bold campaign that the giant company had come up with. And what was the result? This wild campaign got over 8.4 billion impressions, and it boosted their sales by 14%. Because why? Because they were saying the truth. And they wanted everybody to know the truth that we do not use artificial flavors in our burgers, okay? So let's come to families. We've been doing the series about truth. And last week, like I mentioned, we did on individuals. And this week, we are going to look at truth in families. To a large extent, in any traditional family, we think that the truth or whatever the setup is, it's between the husband and the wife. But we seldom realize that it also extends to the greater family, which includes uncles and aunties, your cousins, your grandmom, your grandfather, your children, because we are all a part of his family. And how many of you have seen this picture in any homes wherein it says, Christ is the head of this house? Yeah? Many of us see that. Christ is the head of this house. Then comes the husband, and then comes, that's an umbrella that we also looked at when we did our foundation courses. Now, it is important that we have the same truth going around in and around the family. Now, a few years ago, I went to a wedding with my grandmother. Have you ever been to a wedding with your grandmother? Nobody, just me. Okay. Just me, because my mom was working and I was the only guy available to drive her to the wedding. So I had to go to the wedding with my grandmother. And In traditional Indian wedding, we went, we met some people, and there were exchange of greetings, and everything happened. And there was one couple that my grandmother was speaking for a long time. So I just went there and stood by because I was done with my dessert. It was about to go home back. So I said, let's go home. Why is she talking so long? And I went and stood next to her, and she's in that animated conversation. And they're speaking and they're speaking, and I could tell that something's wrong because she was speaking to the husband and the wife. And I could tell that the wife was playing along with what the husband was saying, if you know what I mean. And after the whole conversation back home when we were driving back, I asked my grandmother, what happened? What was that? She said in Tamil, I'm going to try and translate it for you in English. She said, that woman is the right lid for that jar. You know what it means? She said, that woman is the right lid for that jar. That's what she said. And I didn't understand what she said. So I went home and I asked my mom, and then she said, I'm going to come and connect to why I said that, because most of the times we are on the same page, yet we are not on the same page basis the truth. We are on the same page basis something else, which is often the hidden truth. Are you with me? And for sure, in the Bible, we had some couples who were on the same line. For example, you had Abraham and Sarah. You know, there was this king to whom they kind of moved to that country or that region. And Abraham tells to Sarah, you know what? Tell him that you are my sister. They were on the same page. They both were on the same page. But was it the truth? It wasn't the truth. And likewise, we see Isaac and Rebecca, they also did the same. And then you have Ananias and Sapphira, who also did the same. They were on the same page. It is good to be on the same page. I'm not saying you shouldn't be on the same page. I'm saying you be on the same page, but be on the same page basis the truth. That is what is the concept, or that is what is required. A mother's guidance is very important for any growing child. Are you with me? Is that correct? Because to a large extent, or to considerable events that have happened, the baby or the child mostly spends most of her or his time with the mother. And we see here, you know who's on the left? Any idea what's happening there? Jacob has worn Esau's clothes, and Rebecca is helping. And my daughter is not here, right? Okay. And Rebecca is helping Jacob to get the blessing in disguise from Isaac. Was that a good guidance? When I said this to my daughter, my elder daughter, she said, Dad, it was all God's plan. Then why are you taking that point? That is what she said, the elder one. But was it a good thing to do? It wasn't the right thing to do. If it was part of God's plan, he would have got it anyway, even if he had not gone in disguise. And that caused a lot of problems between who? Between two people, Esau and Jacob. And you know how Jacob was traumatized when he was coming back to his own country and someone told him that Esau is coming to you with 400 men. And Jacob literally lost it. He said, oh my God, he's going to come and kill me because I took his blessing. But that's a different story. When you go ahead, see, there is a particular term in the world which says what goes around comes around. Now, Jacob did that and it came around and it bit him in the place where he didn't think that it's going to bite him. It bit him right at his wedding. Yeah, he got married to a different girl rather than the girl to whom he had planned to get married to. The left one is Eli, and the guy or the child talking to Eli is Samuel. You all know what happened with Eli and his sons? A father's authority, that's what I'm trying to say. A father's authority is important as he is the second person in control of the house after Jesus Christ. And when I'm with my friends usually at workplace, we usually discuss about friends and families and politics. And we speak about sports and all these things. And we usually have a different idea or a thought regarding these things. And one of my friend, he always tells me that he has a different way of parenting. Yeah, and he says, you know, I just let them do what they want to do, and when the right time will come, I will go ahead and chasten them, and I will ensure that they walk according to the laws or according to what is expected. And I usually, my response to him is, if you let your son or your daughter to just live their lives the way they want until the age of 20, we have lost the plot. We have lost the investment time in them. And there comes a time when they're not going to heed to whatever advice we are giving them. And that is exactly what happened in both these situations. On the left one, Ophni and Phinehas were the two sons of Eli. Although they were given a lot of things to do in God's temple, they did not walk according to the commandments of God. And here we see Samuel telling Eli that this is going to be the end for your sons. On the other hand, we see, you know who that guy is? That guy is Amnon. You all remember the story of Amnon and Tamar, right? Tamar was a kind of a sister to this guy, and he did something really bad with her, and Absalom had to eventually take the revenge because David did not go ahead and do his authority. King David had to do something in that place, but he didn't do that. He went ahead and he tried to save his own kingdom, because after this had happened, we see that Absalom's conspiracy had begun, and King David was eventually running for his own life. Yeah. So a father's authority is very important in a family. It is important to upbring the children. It is important to always speak the truth, be transparent in whatever we do, but with utmost grace, not with anger. If you do it with anger, we've again lost the plot. Yeah, it is very important that we do it with utmost love and grace. Now, the text we read was Jeremiah chapter 35. And just to give you a gist of what is happening, the Rechabites, you know who the Rechabites were? The Rechabites were someone who were closely related to the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Those were the people who the Rechabites were actually related to. Moses had married a Kenite woman. Her name was Zipporah. That was Moses' wife's name. He had married a Kenite woman. Now, some biblical scholars say that the Rechabites had also got a part of the promised land because they were very close to the Kenites or to the people from Israel who had left Egypt. So that's the reason they say that these people, the Rechabites, were good friends. They were good relatives of the Israel people. So in the text that we read, we see that someone, you know who had ordered or kind of told them not to drink wine? In the text that we read, Jonadab, son of Rechab, had commanded his children and his entire family not to drink wine. And we see in the text that Jeremiah, God has an unusual request to Jeremiah. What is happening in Judah is King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, is trying to go ahead and encamp and take the whole of Judah. That is what he's trying to do. So these people, the Rechabites, have come to Jerusalem. And the Israelites are saying, the people in Judah are saying that, hey, we know each other for a long time. So why don't you come and sit with us? Why don't you be with us? Live with us. It's okay. The king is about to encamp around the other areas. Why don't you come and live with us? And that is when this happens, when God is having an unusual request to Jeremiah, and he's saying, call these Rechabites and tell them and shut them in a room and give them wine. And that's when about a dozen people, they say that, you know, we don't drink wine because we have kept this command for generations. We do not drink wine, and that is because our ancestor, Mr. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, had commanded us not to drink wine. And we also live in joint families. Some of our grandfathers live with us. Some of our grandmothers live with us. It is important that we nurture our children in that way so that they understand that these are certain things that we shouldn't be doing. We all believe that Christ is the head of our house, right? Now, there were two instances that happened in the Bible. There were 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus. Yeah, there were 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus, but only one came back. That one fellow was truthful. He said, Jesus had done so much for me, I should be thankful, I should be truthful to him. I should go ahead and give him the glory. He, in fact, kneels in front of Jesus and thanks him for the healing. Many of the times in our lives also, we pray about a lot of things to God. God, give me this. God, bless me in this area of my life. God, give my children this blessing in this area of their lives. But how many of we go ahead and thank him once we have received that blessing? Yeah, that is being truthful to God in all walks of life. Now, another example is that's the lady who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Now, that comes in Mark chapter 5. Will not read it. I'll say it as a story. Now, Jairus, the synagogue leader, he comes to Jesus in a hasty way and says that, you know what, my daughter is at the point of death. Why don't you come to my house, lay your hands on my daughter so that she may be healed? And Jesus starts walking. And in those days, there was no real transport. So he had to walk to do a miracle to Jairus' house. And he starts walking and there is a heavy crowd that is following. If you have to go from Peace Park to Pastor's house, it's a small route, right? It's a very small route. But because of the traffic, you get late. And that is what exactly happened in Jairus' life also. Jesus has started to walk towards his house and there is heavy traffic. And there comes a woman in the middle and she touches the hem of his garment and she gets healed. And Jesus is also standing in the middle of the road. Despite Jairus being in a hurry, he's asking, who touched me? This woman could have escaped the scene, right? Just like those 9 lepers. They had got the healing. They could have gone. But this woman says that it was me who touched you. And then he starts asking her the whole story. First year se jo hua tha. First year, from the first year to the 12th year, she recites the whole story. You know, I've been going to worthless physicians. None of the medicines have worked. And Jesus then replies to her, go ahead, your faith has healed you. That's one of the greatest examples of being truthful to him despite we receiving our blessings. Can someone read this text, which is Ephesians 4:25? Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he says that there has to be honesty in every communication that you do. Now, therefore, each of you must put off the falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Now, how do we apply this in our age? Now, one of the things that we can do in our lives, in our homes, is encourage open communication and honest communication within the family. That is one aspect in which we can do that in our family so that our children learn from it. Children learn how you talk. Sometimes when I'm busy, I tell my wife, just tell that guy on the phone I'm not there at home. Is that the right thing to do? That's the wrong thing to do. Because who's watching? Someone in the home is watching. Okay, that's okay. If I'm busy, I can tell that person, or my mama can answer the phone and say, I'm not there at home. He's just gone down. He's gone to get milk. Yeah, that's the wrong way of upbringing children. So it is better to have honesty in communication. We need to model our integrity. Proverbs 27 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Now, how can we apply this in our lives is parents and guardians should model this integrity in their actions and decisions and promises By living truthfully, we set an example for our children so that they can walk according to the righteousness that we are called upon for. The next is building trust through consistency. Now, how many of you are consistent in everything that you do? Is anybody here who's consistent in everything that you do? I remember the first time I met Pastor and he said, okay, Gladwin, so what is the deal? What are you trying to do in terms of your spiritual life? I said, Pastor, I like consistency. Consistency is really not there in me. That is what I told Pastor, and he said, okay, we'll pray about it. That is what he said. So even when we in our lives, when we upbring our children, when we have a happily married life, we all flaunt that verse, right? We are happily married for 8 years, 12 years, 50 years, yeah? But when we say that, what I'm trying to ask is, do we do it in the truth or are we just saying it? Do we really have that consistency in our lives? The next is confessions and forgiveness. Now, James 5:16, he says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Recently, when we were coming to church, one day, my elder daughter, Sarah, she took a perfume. It's not a sin, but I'm just giving you an example. How she went ahead and confessed it. She took a perfume and she forgot to put the lid in it. And she just left it then and there, and we came to church. We go home and we find this perfume bottle without a lid. So I asked the younger one, I said, did you take the perfume? And she said, no, I didn't take the perfume. I put the lid on my perfume. And I asked the elder one, did you take the perfume? Did you not put the lid on it? And she said, yeah, I forgot. I am sorry. So it was a small thing, but the child went ahead and said the truth. And that was appreciated by both me and my wife. And this is how we try to upbring our children so that they don't feel that the whole world is on their shoulders when they say the truth. How do we as parents react when our children speak the truth? If we react harshly, there's a bright chance that they are never going to say the truth. And the way I have seen life in many people is they usually do not tell the truth because of the way they were treated when they said the truth. Are you with me? Yeah. The next is teaching God's truth. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7, it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. God is asking us to talk about the truth even when we sit down, when we get up. He's having great expectations from us. You know, there's a famous verse in the world that it says that have great expectations from God. Do not have great expectations from the world. Because if you are having great expectations from God, He also has great expectations from you. And here it's a classic example wherein he says that when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, have the truth and impress them on your children. How can we do it? Make God's truth a central part of your family life. Teach your children the biblical principles, the practices, and discuss them regularly and apply them in everyday situation. The next is teaching God's truth and addressing issues with love and truth. That's the example that I gave you. It says Colossians 3, 9 to 10. It says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The last piece is Psalms 101, verse 2 says, I will walk with my house within my house with a perfect heart. And unless and until we are transparent with each other in our lives, we upbring our children in that way, it is very difficult to walk in a perfect heart. Now, the last time I gave a sermon, and when I came to an end in my sermon, I said that I gave you a challenge, and I told you that if you are about to stand on the day of judgment, and what will God say when he looks at you? And I said, is he going to say, this is my beloved son, and with him I am very pleased? Or is he going to say, I regret making this individual? He did not do a fruitful job. But this time, we have a new challenge for you. The new challenge is for you as a family. Any idea who that is? Three people. Okay, let's read. Numbers 12. Numbers 12, verses 1 to 7. Can one of you read it for me? This is what God said when Miriam and Aaron opposed Moses. He said, when a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful, which means he's truthful to me in all my house. And that's the final word that God says about Moses. And he says that he is faithful to me in all my house. You all remember how many people left Egypt in order to go and get the promised land? There were millions of people who left. But he said only this thing about Moses. So I would like to encourage each family here to be faithful and truthful to him in everything that you do so that we can raise children who are God-like characters, who do not have anything Christ-unlike in their lives. And so that God can say that this family, RHC, is faithful to me in all my house. Yeah, so let us quickly pray, and I would request Pastor to guide us. Thank you.